Hello there. How you guys doing? Good? All right, good. Well, I tend to get very nervous in the beginning, and then like in about 2 or 3 minutes, I'll get back to normal, okay? My mouth may go dry, but forgive me for that. I want to thank the pastor for opening up the doors to this church to someone like me who was searching for a church that taught truth, all right? And I was searching for that for so long, and I'm glad that I finally found a place that I can actually call a home, a church home. So I praise God for that. And more importantly than that, I praise God for saving someone like me. Someone like me, a wretch. But you guys don't understand that. You guys haven't seen my life. Today I'm not going to talk about what the devil has done mostly in my life. I really want to bring glory to God and to Jesus Christ. Before I go any further, I want to... You guys thought I was going to say pray or something, right? I'm going to try to tell you guys something about God. Something that I'm learning about God. Well, I want to tell you that God is holy. Of course, we just sang that song. God is holy, holy, holy. That means that no sin dwells with God. God hates sin. God abhors sin, and sin is distasteful to God. It's loathsome. It's disgusting to God. And my life is just full of sin. How can a holy God want to have fellowship with someone like me? Well, also, I'm learning that God is self-sufficient. That means that God is complete in himself. God is full. He's 100%. He's not 99.9999. He's 100% full. So him calling me to him doesn't show that God was missing something. So it's just an act of grace that he saved me. Another thing that I want to bring to your mind is how many times, this is a question for you guys, how many times did Adam and Eve sin before God cast them out of his presence? How many times?
Once.
You guys are smart. Good. Well, they sinned just one time, and Luis Torres has sinned more times than you guys can count. I mean, it's easier to go out to the field and count the blades of grass growing than to count the sins that I've committed. And I say that in shame, really. The night of my conversion, I was flipping through the channels, and I ended up watching a Christian television show, Way of the Master. I don't know if you guys heard that before. They were going out on the streets and filming the people, having conversations with people from the street, unsaved people. And they were going through the law, the Ten Commandments. And the Holy Spirit has a good way of working in the hearts of people, because he started convicting my heart that night of the necessity of repentance and how I've sinned against God. And the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So I want to just go through each of the commandments just to recap basically what I've done wrong, I guess. Yeah, put me on the spot, right? Well, that's what I want to do today. The first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Every day I did not do that. I hated God. He was far from my thoughts. My heart was far from God. So that's the first and greatest commandment. So I suppose the greatest sin that I can commit is failure to do that. I didn't put him first. I was sinning against God. Death sentence for breaking that commandment. The second commandment is, don't make yourself any graven image. See, every day I made a God that I was comfortable with, a God that didn't really care about me or my sin, that he had the same level of standards, moral standards that I had. But that's not the God of the Bible, is it? It's not. It's not. So I made an idol. And also I was brought up in a Roman Catholic background. I was taught to pray to the saints, and I was taught to give reverence to Mary and all these things. And I was committing idolatry by not giving my prayers, which is an act of worship, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I sinned against God by doing that. The third commandment is, don't take God's name in vain. I did that a lot. I used God's name to curse. God's holy name, I took it down. I dragged it through the dirt, and I spit it out in blasphemy. I sinned against God by taking his name in vain, the name that is above every name. And I sinned against God. The fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. No, that's the fifth. I'm sorry. I know. I'm apologizing because I don't want to get kicked out before I get, you know. Anyway.
Sorry, you can't join me.
Well, let me finish. The fourth command is the Sabbath. Of course, I didn't do that, right? The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. My teenage years, I mean, you guys just know what that's all about. I'm not a teenager anymore, but I was very rebellious towards my mom. My father left me when I was 6 years old, so I grew up without him, and I had a hatred in my heart for him. Well, the Bible equates hatred to murder, 1 John. So I committed murder in my heart already. That's breaking the sixth commandment and the fifth commandment by not honoring my mother and father. And I didn't take that very seriously. I didn't care. I rebelled against my mom in my teenage years. And in truth also, I was rebelling against God. God gave them to me, and I was rebelling and just open rebelling against God, and that was sin against God as well. The seventh commandment is don't commit adultery. I didn't have to be married to do that one. In high school, every single day, I saw all those pretty girls, and I saw what they were showcasing. And I committed adultery in my heart. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you commit adultery in your heart. So I did that every single day, and I didn't care, because why? I had a God that I made up in my mind. So I broke that commandment. When I was 15 years old, the Lord, He provided me a job at a restaurant. I was 15. And I lied about my age. That's the ninth commandment. Anyway, doesn't matter. Don't tell them that now. Anyway, I was given this position of supervisor. And that means that you know, watch what the team members do. And I was given authority, you know, and I was able to count the money and be accountable for that. Well, it turns out I began to not have enough money. I wanted more. I began coveting other things at the store, and I wanted more money. So one day I was counting money, and I had a temptation to steal some money. And that's what I did. I was counting money, and I took one of the bills, and I put it in my pocket. And then I lied by covering it up in the paperwork. Just there, I broke the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th commandment. And that's just so quickly I could do that. But see, God is perfect, and we're not. He gave us a perfect standard, and I broke every one of the commandments. I was a normal guy. I was a normal, warm-blooded guy. I guess I'm cold right now. That's why I say cold-blooded. But I was a normal guy out there. I was a normal guy. So just imagine how wicked and how depraved humanity really is. And so Lewis was put on the scales. He was weighed in the balance, and he was found wanting. The law was coming after me. You know, I was arrested. I was a criminal in the eyes of God. I was like a spiritual terrorist. Well, I thought about this as well. I was just acting like the demons, the angels that rebelled in heaven. They rebelled against God, and so did I. I rebelled just like they did. I mean, I was open, what is it called? Closed fist rebelling against God. I'm sorry, I'm not professional. But I was against God. I was rebelling against Him, right? And so did the devils. And yet, I think about it, and Jesus Christ never came to die for the devils. He never humbled Himself to do that. He never became like them. But my Bible says something very... Can you guys hear me? My Bible says something very, very amazing to me. In the Philippians chapter 2. I have to turn there. I think most of you know this passage. I should open this before. Philippians chapter 2, it says in verses 6 through 8, Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, and He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came down to this earth for me. He came down to this earth. He lived for me. Jesus Christ endured temptation for me. He endured the wrath of the Father for me. And Jesus Christ, He died for me. He died for me. He came to this world to die for little old Lewis. So insignificant I am, but He did that because of His love. But Jesus Christ did not remain dead, though. That's the good thing. He did not remain dead. If He remained dead, I would not be able to stand in front of you here today. I would not be here. I would be living my own depraved, dirty, sinful life. But praise God that He did not remain dead. He rose from the dead. And God the Father put a seal of approval on His atonement for me, which is a beautiful thing. Do you guys remember that part where Jesus was praying that the cup would pass from me in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes. Well, that cup, what did it have in that cup? The wrath. Thank you. The wrath of God. That cup had like my name written on that. That was for me to drink. And Jesus Christ, He took that cup and He drank the whole thing. He drank the whole thing for me. That was for me to drink, you know, the wrath of God. He took it upon Himself. So when he tilted that cup, nothing came out. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That is a very beautiful thing for me. God took the 10 canons of His commandments that were aimed at me. He shot them, and Jesus Christ stood right in front of me, and He took the blows for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Like I heard in a rap song. This is really intriguing. It goes like this, a little bit about Jesus. It says, "You're risen from the dead. I still can't get this through my head. How the judge can leave the bench and go to prison instead. Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's the one that died on the cross for me. He saved me. And he was like the prodigal son's father, looking for me. He found me." So happy to tell you that. I was converted on January 20th, 2004. January 20th, 2004. At night. The reason I say at night is because salvation is so radical. Just like physical birth. In 1984, I, Luis Torres, did not exist. In 1985, I existed. Radical like that, okay? On January 20th, 2004, in the morning, God was the last thing in my mind. I did not think anything about being born again. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I didn't even think about that stuff. God was far from my mind. I just cared about living my own life again. You know, one of those days where I'll sin again, and I don't care, you know? Well, that was the morning. Who would have thought a few hours later I was going to have spiritual life and be born again? Well, and that night, when I was watching a television program, I was feeling the conviction of sin that time. I was confronted with the law. I knew that if I died in my sins, I would end up in hell. That it's appointed a man once to die, then after this, the judgment. Okay, and I knew that if I died that day or that night, I would end up in hell forever. And there's no turning back. So I sought the Lord. Jesus Christ said, "Anyone who comes after me, I will in no wise cast out." So I came to him, and he did receive me. Also, another important thing is that that night, I didn't feel weird. I didn't feel chills. I didn't feel goosebumps. I didn't feel like a shock. I didn't see visions. I mean, I just knew that God was there, and he heard me. By faith, you grab the promises of God and don't let them go. And I just held on to that. One of the evidences of my salvation is they asked me, "Well, how do you know that you really got saved that day? How do you know you're saved?" Well, Jesus Christ, well, he said that I will be in his hands, right? And the Father, no one will pluck you from my Father's hand. The reason I was saved that day is because I'm still saved today, and I have confidence that I will be saved until the end. I'm in the Father's hands. I'm not trusting in my own righteousness. I'm trusting in Christ's righteousness and only his righteousness. He who began a good work in you will perfect it. He will finish it. So I have confidence to say that. The reason the evidence that he renewed me on that day is because he's still renewing me even today, and he will continue to renew me after that. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you." He has changed my heart. He's given me new desires. One of the greatest evidences that I have, proofs that Jesus Christ is living inside of me, that the Holy Spirit's living inside of me, is that he's given me new desires. Things I used to love, I hate. I don't say this because I heard it on sermons. It's actually what happened. I mean, I can tell you right now, if someone at my job plays a secular song, let's say something on the radio or something like that, a very popular song, I literally feel sick in my stomach. I cannot stand it. That is the work of the Spirit in the heart. He changes your heart. He gives you a new heart with new desires. He takes a heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh so that you can respond to God and be sensitive to the sin in your life. That's what he does. It's amazing what God has done. The power of God is so strong. It's so real. I attest to you today that Jesus Christ is real, that his Spirit has changed me. Also, something very important also is I praise God because he keeps me in the narrow path. He will not let me live the way my old man wants to live. The old man has been taken off and the new man has been put on. So he will not let me live the way Luis Torres, the old one, wanted to live. If I do that, he will chastise me. He will discipline me because he's a father and I'm his child. And he will do that. He will put me back on the right path and keep me walking after that path. If he doesn't discipline me, guess what? I'm not his child. That's right. I'm not his child. But I praise God that he is my father. He is not a derelict father. He will not be like my father in the flesh who left me. No, he's going to be there until the end. And I praise God for that. One more thing I want to read to you before I let Pastor take over is Ephesians. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses. All right? And I believe this pertains to my life. If you guys want to turn to that, go right ahead, okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. The new life in Christ. Praise God. And it says, and you has He quickened. He has made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, amen, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I praise God for that, because I am in His hands, and I am the product. I'm being worked on by God. So that means that His work is perfect. Did you guys know that? God is a perfect God. So that means that the man that He's forming, Luis Torres, and each and every one of you who are really in Christ, He's forming you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He will not leave you half done. He will not leave you messed up. He will do a perfect work in your heart. Not just for me, but for each and every one of you. And I praise God, and I thank you guys for having me here, okay? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology.
Yes.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above, creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and